Amen. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to read starting in verse number 1. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon the message this morning. Lord, I thank you for each and every one that's here. I thank you, God, for the good spirit in the church today. Thank you for the visitors you've sent. And thank you, Father, for the saints that have come to gather once again, Lord, to worship you and to hear from you, God. And I pray that you'd speak to them through this message this morning. Father, I pray that you'd forgive me and wash me from any unconfessed sin that I might have in my life. Father, just cleanse me, make me a vessel fit for your use. And Father, like so many in this room, I look at this day as a fresh start to a new year, a chance to serve you more faithfully. And Lord, I pray that this would be the year that you would come, the trumpet would sound, and your church would get to go out of here, Lord. But if not, help us to be found faithful. Help us to occupy till you come. Lord, we love you. We thank you for giving your life on Calvary for us. We thank you, Lord, for that shed blood that cleanses us, washes us, redeems us, Father, and brings us into the family of God. Lord, I pray if there's one here today that does not know with 100% certainty that heaven is their home, that today would be the day that they would come and put their complete faith and trust in Jesus Christ and allow him to redeem their soul and give them the gift of eternal life. Lord, we love you. Ask your blessings upon the message in this time that we have today. May you be pleased with everything that's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Paul's mindset here in our text is kind of that which I believe embodies all of us at New Year's. We make resolutions, you know. We resolve that things are going to be different starting today than they were yesterday. And you think about that, he begins by admonishing the saints to first of all have the right perspective. In verse 1 he says that they should rejoice in the Lord. And really, this should be true at all times in our lives, no matter what time, what mountain we're on, what valley we're in. We have a lot to be joyful about. I mean, when you think about it, the devil can throw anything he wants at us, but he can't take our souls. They're saved. We're going to glory. He can't steal our eternal life that Jesus Christ has given us. And Jesus is the reason that we should be rejoicing at all times in our life. He died for our sins. He purchased our pardon. He procured our future in heaven. I tell you, he promised never to leave you nor forsake you. And he provides every need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I mean, what's there not to be happy about as a child of God when you take those things into account and perspective? But in verse 2, he also tells us that we should reject the enemies of our Lord. He says, beware of dogs there. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Now, dogs in the Bible reference lost men behaving like animals, basically. They even use that terminology today on the street. They'll call somebody a dog if he acts like a dog and, behaves like that in a manner. And they look at that thing, and wicked women are referred to as swine in the Bible. Isn't that something? And you look at that stuff, and he says, beware, watch out. Evil workers are those that are bent on doing evil and ungodly things. God wiped out an entire planet full of people back in Genesis 6 because of those very evil, immoral, ungodly things that we see all around us today. And you look at it and you go, what's going on? Evil workers. And then the concision. Those were those that held false doctrine concerning salvation. They believed it was necessary to be circumcised after the manner of Moses in order to be saved. And, of course, there's a lot of false teachings out there. Finally, he says, not only should we rejoice, not only should we reject, but we should regard not the flesh in verses 3 through 7. Our flesh is the enemy of the Holy Spirit of God in the Christian's life. Galatians tells us that the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. The biggest problem a Christian has is his flesh. And that thing comes up, and he said you shouldn't put any confidence in it. You should not trust it. It is selfish, ungodly, and rebellious. Now, having the right perspective is critical to achieving happiness and spiritual prosperity. Our outlook on life and our views concerning spiritual matters will shape our desires and our behavior. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you better get this thing right and geared in. And with that thought in mind, I want to look at verses 13 and 14 this morning and kind of preach a message on this thought, a new look for a new year. A new look for a new year. Now in verse 13, I want you to see, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and he says, in reaching forth unto those things which are before. I want you to see, first of all, amnesia through deliberation. Amnesia through deliberation. That you're going to need some of that, and you'll understand it here in a minute. Amnesia is a condition in which memory is lost. I had a case of amnesia once, but I can't remember it. My mother had to tell me about it. As a kid, they had bought a new refrigerator. I was outside with, my younger sister and probably the younger one too. And we were out playing in that box. And of course, I'm inside that thing acting like an idiot, like most kids would. And it fell over and I hit my head on the ground and it knocked me out. And of course, I'm being told all this because I don't remember any of it. And so what happens, I wake up and I'm laying on the couch and I kind of came to, and my mom, of course, is fretting, she's worried, and she's right over top of me. And I looked up and I looked, I said, where am I? And my mom, of course, she looks at me and she goes, well, you're home. And I said, who are you? And she said, you cut that out right now, I'm your mother.
And I'm like, and I'm looking at her. I had no idea who she was. And I couldn't remember it. And they told me this later. They were telling me that I was just totally forgot. Now, it was only temporary. It came back later. But I don't remember the incident. I remember my mom and all that stuff later on, which she was very thankful about. But, you know, when you think about that thing, Paul here is talking about consciously forgetting some things. Deliberation. What is deliberation? That is the process of a long and careful study or thinking about a particular matter. When you serve on jury duty, you are dismissed to deliberate. And you weigh all the evidence and you look at all the facts and you kind of trust your personal assessment of the individual on trial and when, you know, did they look shady? Did they look like they were telling the truth? Or the you know, all the stuff. You weigh it all out and then you arrive at a decision. And in this case, I believe Paul has come to the conclusion after much deliberation that it is best to forget some things. Forgetting those things, he said, which are behind. Paul is making a conscious decision, a constant effort, to put the past behind him. Oftentimes, our failures, our past failures, are our biggest hindrance towards future progress. You know what we do? We hang on to things in the past rather than let them go. Oftentimes, marriages never heal because things that happened 5, 10, 15 years ago are constantly brought back to the forefront. They are never forgotten. They are always thrown back in the face of one or the other. And it's like, well, you know, what am I, you know, back to 10 years ago, back to 5 years ago, back to 7 years ago. And this stuff goes on and on. Families are still separated between parents and children, or different siblings will not speak to each other for years and years and years. And you go, why? Because of something that happened back there. Something that they will not let go of. Something that they'll hang on to. Christians who are out of church because of something that was said or done that hurt their feelings. They were offended, and because of some one little incident somewhere, they won't serve God, they won't go to church, they won't read their Bible, they won't pray, they are just out, forget the whole thing, and they just all because of something happened back there. You know, the devil is the master of bringing up things of the past and hanging them around your neck. He'll beat you up with your past failures in serving God. You know, you meant to read your Bible all the way through from cover to cover last year, didn't you? And some of you didn't make it. And you know what the devil's going to say? Well, ain't no point in starting again. You didn't finish last time. Why don't you just, you know what you got to do? You got to say, you know what? That's back there. You cannot change a single thing that happened last year. You cannot bring back words that you spoke. You cannot undo decisions that you made. You cannot take back actions or anything that took place last year, yesterday, or earlier this morning. Put it behind you. That's what he's saying, forgetting those things which are behind. You know, some of you meant to go street preaching with us all this year, and you never made it. Well, don't let the devil say, well, you're never going to go. You're just, you know, you might as well forget about the whole thing. You know, just kind of say, you know what, I'm gonna forget about all that I did wrong or didn't make it or what happened, the excuses. All that stuff's gone. That's going to be different from here on out. Forgetting those things which are behind. You know, some decided somewhere along the line they were going to attend more than one service a week. Going to start coming to Sunday school. Going to start coming to Wednesday night prayer meeting and Bible study. But it didn't happen. Maybe you come a couple times, then you didn't. Then you just quit, and then you give up. And you know what the devil will do? He'll beat you to death with that stuff. And next time you get ready to start doing something, he's going to bring it up. Listen, we all make mistakes. There's not a person in this room who hasn't done something or said something in the past that offended somebody or, you know, caused hardship or heartache. We all do it. You know what you need to do? You need to learn how to forgive and forget. Amen. The forgetting is important.
Oh, I forgive you, but I'll keep reminding you about it over and over and over again.
You remember when Peter asked the Lord, he said, how oft if my brother offend me, shall I forgive him 7 times? And the Lord said, I say not unto thee 7 times, but 70 times 7. And you go, what? Over and over and over. I mean, can you imagine? You keep coming up and saying, well, gee, I did it again. I'm sorry. All right, I forgive you. Well, I did it again. I'm sorry. All right, I forgive you. Well, I'm sorry, but I did it again. I'm really sorry. You know, after that's only 3 times and you're already tired of hearing it. Can you imagine 7 times and then 70 times 7? You know, the idea is just forget it, man. Put it behind you. Move on. We've all made mistakes. Get over it. Get on with your life. You know, I've often wondered sometimes where, you know, you get talk with people and boy, that they're still talking about, you know, a former wife or a former husband or this or that and blah, blah, blah. Hey, get over it. Forget it. Quit dredging up the past over and over and over and over again. You say, why? Because it doesn't prosper. It doesn't help you. It doesn't progress you. It doesn't move you on. You're stuck. You're stuck. Got to forget it. You can't let your past be an anchor that keeps you from moving on with your life. And that's what happens. People will never do something because of something that happened back here, and they've made up their mind, I will never do anything more. And it becomes that ball and chain that holds them here when the Lord's got a whole new life in front of them, of so much promise of abundancy and blessing and prosperity and all the things that God has for them. They'll never get to it because they're shackled to something they can't change, they can't undo, but they can't forget. So you know what? You're going to have to deliberate. Is it really worth hanging on to? Is it really helping you to carry those failures from the past into the present and into the future? Leave them there. Put them under the blood. Lord, help me to forget those things which are behind. Can't do anything about them anyway. I can think back to classic cars that I owned and sold and think, man, why did I ever get rid of that thing? It's worth $100,000 today. Why didn't I hang on to that? You know, now, I could sit and have a pity party for the rest of the year about that. But you know what? Lord's able to give thee much more than that. And you can have it. Amnesia, true deliberation. Forgetting those things which are behind. Make a conscious effort today to just say, you know what, Lord, if there's anything that's binding me to my past, anything that I'm not letting go of, bring it to the forefront of my mind. Help me to confess it, get it under the blood, and never mention it again. You see, that's what your Lord does for you. He forgives your sin. He washes them away. And it's like, what sin are you talking about? I don't remember them. I put them in the sea of my forgetfulness. I cast them as far as the east is from the west. Not exactly sure what you're getting at. That's how we need to be. Need to put them behind us. I want you to see secondly here in verse 13. He says there at the end of the verse, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now, that's activity through desire. Reaching forth. Now, when you speak of reaching forth for something, I don't know about you, but I have the thought of somebody stretching out a hand, reaching forth. You know, young children, when they want to be picked up, what do? You know, they throw their hands out, and you know, it's like, okay, you get it? Follow you around the house like this. Want to be picked up, reaching forth. They got some activity that lets you know their desire. And, you know, these are things that will produce activity. Those things which are before. It's reaching forth not only speaks of activity, but of the object desired. What is it that you want out there? What are you reaching forward for? What is it you're after? And, you know, I think that Paul has always said he had goals and objectives and spiritual benchmarks in his own life. One of the things he says here is verse 10, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Paul said, I've got some goals I want to reach. I want to get to that place. He had desires for the brethren. He wanted to see them saved. Romans 10:1, he talks about that. His desire for Israel is that they might be saved. He's got a heartfelt desire. He's reaching for it. He wanted to preach at Rome. He wanted to go. He wanted to visit the Corinthians. He wanted to win Christ. And the idea was not to get saved, but basically to win his favor, to know him, to know his power, to know his fellowship, to be acquainted with his suffering. You know, I found in my own life that the more I read in the Gospels, the more I appreciate Jesus Christ. You start reading through there and you start thinking about all that he did for you. And you know what you find out, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I get moved to tears when I read it. They spit in his face, slapped him, plucked the beard out of his face. Why? What did he do? He didn't do anything wrong. That was all for me. It's all stuff I did. I should have been spit in the face. I should have been slapped. And you know, they put that crown of thorns on him. They mock him. They ridicule him. They strip him of his clothing. And they beat him. And you're looking at all this stuff and you're going, all that stuff. What did he do wrong? Absolutely nothing. I deserved all that. You know what Paul said? Oh, that I might know him. Oh, that I might know his power. Oh, that love that Christ had that constrains us to move forward. What is it? What is it? I want to know more about it. We must have some goals in our own life. We must set some goals. What are you going to be reaching forward to? Where do you see your spiritual walk with God should we last all the way to the end of 2017? This time next year, where do you want to see yourself in your walk with the Lord? Do you have a goal? Do you have an understanding, something that you're reaching forth to? What do you see your life being like? I'll tell you, as a preacher, I've been in this stuff for a long time now. And in the last 30 years, I've seen people that said, man, the Lord Jesus, he is my God and Lord, I'm going to live for him, that are completely out of church today. Doing absolutely nothing. Say, what happened to their lofty goals and desires? Well, one of the things might have been, I had a hard time forgetting what was behind them. Another thing might have been that they lost sight of that goal that they professed to once have. You know what it's going to take? It's going to take you setting some goals. What's your prayer life going to be like? What's your Bible knowledge going to be like? Somebody was to ask you a question today and want to know something about the Lord or something about the future, the rapture or the tribulation or baptism. What can you answer them from the scriptures? Would you have to get on the phone and call your pastor and say, what do we believe about this? Or could you pick up your authority, the Word of God, and have enough knowledge to say, well, let me show you what it says right in here. What's your Bible knowledge like? How about your service for God? What is your goal for that? Are you going to serve him more in the future or less? You got to have goals. You got to set those things. What do you want to see? You got to have some desire. Set some goals. What about your family members, friends or loved ones? You want to see some of them get saved? Enough to really pursue it? Reaching forth. Striving. Trying to get to a desire that produces activity. I'm going to get that gospel to them. I'm going to write that letter. I'm going to give them that tract. I'm going to call them on the phone. I'm going to try to help them see that Jesus Christ is what they need. Reaching forth. What about your church? You considered your church? Thought about your participation in it? What goals do you have in mind for it? It's really your church. I'm the pastor. I am the preacher, the teacher. But without you in the pews, without you sitting here and being a part of it, there would be no church. It's your church. It's going to be what you make it. And what's your goals? What's your thought? Got some people you're thinking should be sitting in the pews next to you? Got some people thinking that, you know, they should get saved? Some others that you might be able to minister to? You've got to set some goals. You got to long for them. Be active in achieving them, striving to reach them. You must be active in your quest. You know, I can look at my Bible laying on my desk, and I can say, boy, I really would like to read that thing cover to cover this year. But if I don't pick it up and open it up, it ain't going to happen. There's got to be activity through desire. I desire these things. I'm reaching for them. I want to make it happen. You know what I've found out about people? They do what they want to do. I've had people complain about, oh, all they ever want is that church is your money. All they ever want is this and that. And yet they have no problem going down to the grocery store and shelling over money. They got no problem going to the sporting event and paying, you know, $7 for a bottle of Coke or something. I mean, they got no problem shelling out the bucks for all that because they want that. They have a desire for that. And if they want it, they'll get it bad enough. That's one of the things we fight all the time, isn't it? You go by and you see that new truck or that new car or that new this, and you know what you want? You want one. And if you desire it enough, you will make it happen. And so the idea is to get those desires and those goals in your spiritual life and say, this is what I want to see. I want to see this in my walk with the Lord. I want to see this in my church. I want to see how this is going to go, what God's going to do, and have some goals and get active in pursuing them. But also I want you to see, not only should there be amnesia through deliberation, there should be activity through desire, but I want you to see one more thing in verse 14. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There must be advancement through determination. I press toward the mark. You know, I've studied people a long time, and I've noticed that when they really, 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 really have a desire, they accomplish it. They get it done. They want it bad enough, they will do it. They'll be determined to do it. That's what we need. Pressing speaks of an urging with force or weight. I mean, if I came over and I pressed on your right shoulder really good and hard, you would end up moving. Why? I'm making it happen. I'm pushing. I'm pressing. If I was trying to press my way through a crowd, you know what I'm talking about. When you want something, you can do it. You want to get through that door, you're going to press on it. I'm going to push it out of your way. I'm going to get through. Pressing toward the mark. It's making it happen. I watched a horse one time, and I like horses. I have one that I need to ride and never do, but I feed them a lot, and I love on them. So, and he me, so that's a good thing. But I watched him one time, and you know, the Bible says this. It says, consider the ant and other creatures to obtain knowledge in the Bible. You look at those things. I watched him trying to get some grass one day. It was just outside the fence. And that green grass was just, you know, they always say the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. In my pasture, the only place there's grass is on the other side of the fence. So he's looking at that thing, and he wants that grass. So he tries to reach over the fence. That isn't going to work. Can't do that. So then he tries to reach through the fence. Turns his head kind of sideways and tries, but he can't reach it that way either. And here's what he did next. Now I'm talking about pressing toward the mark. He dropped down on his front knees, laid his head on the ground, slid it underneath the fence, and started eating that grass. You know what he wanted? He wanted that grass. What was going to stop him? Nothing. He was going to press until he got what he wanted. We could learn something from an animal like that. When you want it enough, you will make it happen. So here's what I'm saying to you. Today is January 1st of the year 2017.
Why not set some goals? First of all, forget that stuff back there. Anything behind this moment, you can do nothing about. Just let it go. Let it go. Bury it. Then, kind of look forward and say, what do I want to do? Where do I want to go? What kind of goals do I want to set? And then prioritize them. And then go. Reach for them. Press towards them. Keep driving until you get there. You can do it if you desire to do it enough. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for these folks. God, we have a new opportunity today. And I just trust, Lord, that Father, if there's anyone here that's not saved, Father, they could come and have a new life this morning. They could be born again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The ultimate fresh start is the new birth in Jesus Christ. But Father, many of us have been saved. Many of us, Father, have served you faithfully, maybe failed you at times. Help us today to make a determination just to forget those things, those failures, and not let them be a shackle that keeps us from going forward. Help us, God, to set new goals. Help us to aspire to reaching them. Give us the determination. And Father, may we just set these goals and then just act in a way that makes them accomplished before the end of the year. God, just pursue them. And Lord, it'd be a great, noble aspiration. Maybe if we don't even succeed, but we're striving when the trumpet sounds, that'll be, in a sense, doing what we were told to do all along, occupying, serving, striving to please our Savior till He comes. Father, you know the hearts, you know the needs in this room. I pray that you'd meet each one. I pray if anyone needs to come to this altar, they would not hesitate to come, kneel down, pray, maybe kneel right at their seats if they need to. But Father, you talk to them, you help them, and Father, may we make something out of this new, fresh year that you've given us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.